How's it going, Yankee fans? Welcome back to Fireside Yankees with your boys, Alex and Ryan. So we're at the game yesterday, and not the result that we wanted, certainly not, but we saw a glimpse into what the future looks like, and it's Anthony Volpe at the leadoff spot. Now, the Yankees decided, well, you know, we're going to move Gleyber Torres. It was more about Torres than Volpe. I don't buy that, to be quite honest with you. I think it was just as much about Volpe as it was about Torres being pushed down to the sixth spot, Volpe going up to the leadoff spot, obviously. Volpe's been red hot. Gleyber Torres has been a little bit polarizing, maybe a lot of bit. Hasn't been very good to start the season. I'm not worried about Gleyber. I think a lot of people are overreacting about it. He'll find his groove, just like Judge will. These are good baseball players. You know, cold stretch, the same could say for these red-hot players right now. They could cool off a little bit in a couple of weeks, just like those colder players could heat up in a couple of weeks. Could be a Stanton thing where one day it just clicks and suddenly, from then on out, you're just looking fantastic. There's going to be inconsistencies. The season is long. We're not concerned about it. But let's talk about Volpe as the leadoff man now. Even when DJ LeMahieu comes back, they cannot move this guy off the leadoff spot. Why? Aaron Boone said it. This guy is, when we're 10 years down in the future, he'll have been the leadoff man his entire career. It's time to make that transition and keep him there for the foreseeable future. He had a hit, a run, and two walks yesterday. That glimpse that we saw, a walk, and then a Juan Soto double late in the game in the eighth inning to give the Yankees at least a chance of coming back in that contest. It was 4-2 at the time. But I saw a lot of great stuff from Volpe. He was working counts, fighting, being patient, picking his pitches. That's what you want to see from your leadoff man, Ryan. And we're going to talk about him, where we see his kind of his potential blossoming, where we think that he's going to end up as a player, especially after the really great progress he's made this offseason over a small sample. Before we dive into it, though, how are you doing today, my friend?
I'm doing great, and you know, as you alluded to with Anthony Volpe, right, like this is something that Aaron Boone has hinted at as being like something they envisioned him doing at some point in his career, and I'm not sitting here and saying Anthony Volpe, like, that's it, book's closed, he's already clearly become one of the greats. You know, there's a very long road of development for him. He's gonna have struggles. There's still some things I'd like him to work on. I'd like him to get a little bit better in terms of quality of contact, you know, stuff of that nature. But I still think this is a player who is much improved over the player we saw last year. Everything across the board, I think defensively he looks better. I feel like offensively he looks better. You know, swing decisions have gotten a little bit better. The ability to make contact and the feel for contact has improved. The plate discipline has improved. He's really starting to come into his own as a player. And, you know, if he's able to give you about a 3-4 WAR season, that's a really strong year two player. That's a really strong player just in general. You hope the OBP is there. You hope the OBP can remain, you know, somewhere in that 340 to 350, hopefully maybe even 360 range. Just like kind of thinking about what you mentioned, that sequence of Volpe walks, Soto hits that double, right? Or even the bottom of the ninth. Volpe walks, Soto walks, and you have Judge up. Look, Judge didn't come through twice. Is what it is, right? Like, you know, we can sit here and talk about, oh, the lineup isn't deep enough anymore. Gleyber's going to hit. Gleyber's going to start hitting. Like, that's going to happen. Gleyber's going to start hitting. He's a good hitter. He's in a slump. Things happen, right? For Judge, like, he's not going to have an 0-3 in those situations. And that's exactly what you wanted to happen. You want him to come up, bases loaded, big spots, can't walk him, nowhere to put him, and you've got to pitch to him. He just didn't come through. It's as simple as that, right? Like, I know some people are going to overthink it and go, well, you messed with a good thing. Now the Yankees are going to start losing. Oh, they changed things up in the middle of a winning stretch. First and foremost, if Anthony Volpe is hitting first, he's going to get on base, and the guys behind him, Judge, should do damage. Stanton's red hot. Like, I want Stanton to come up with runners on right now. Stanton's doing damage. Stanton's destroying the ball. Stanton, actually, I'm pretty sure his whiff rate has cut down significantly in his hot stretch, which is really encouraging, because if you remember, through the first few games, he was a strikeout machine. Like, it was just like, okay, slider, 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 strikeout, strikeout, strikeout. Like, it was quite annoying. His numbers look a lot better. I know the walk rate to strikeout rate still aren't great, but, you know, what stands out to me immediately is the fact the quality of contact's not that much better for Stanton. The expecting batting average is .264 for Stanton. That's really good. That's a little bit better than what his actual average is, which is .256. And in my eyes, I think he's going to get things turned around. I think this is the start of potentially a hot stretch for him that he can sustain. He's just got to stay healthy. But, you know, Volpe's in front of guys who are going to do damage. Volpe's in front of damage hitters. Volpe's in front of hitters who can hit and can really drive the baseball. Some of the baseballs aren't going out, like that Soto ball that he hit to deep left center. I thought that ball's getting out. The Trevino ball, I thought that ball's getting out. Some of these batted balls, like even the game before that, the one that we won 3-2, the Stanton ball, I thought that ball was getting out. You know, so many baseballs that were hit that game, we were just like, oh, he got it, and it died at the track. It's cold in New York. It got cold at night, ball's not flying out yet. When it's summertime, those balls are going to be flying out the ballpark left and right. Like that ball's, some of those, that Soto ball is in the opposing team's bullpen. That Trevino ball's three rows deep into left field, and the Yankees win that ball game. Now, I guess you could argue, would some of the batted balls, the Marlins hit go further? Absolutely. But end of the day, like, I think Volpe profiles well for the leadoff spot. You kind of think about the threat of him being at first base with nobody on and Soto coming up, and you've got to try to pitch to Soto, and you got him shuffling, you got Volpe dancing off first base, and we've seen how dynamic of a base runner he can be. I would like to see the Yankees let him be aggressive too. If he's your leadoff hitter, if he's on first base and there's nobody out, let him go swipe the bag. I don't want a double play. Let him swipe that bag, because if Soto rolls one over, Anthony Volpe's at third base with one out and Aaron Judge up. So, yeah, like, Alex, I think I'm kind of at the point with Volpe where it's like, the numbers suggest he should be the leadoff hitter. He's had an extended run of being a really solid hitter for us to open the year. His changes are tangible. The whiff rate is significantly lower. There's no question about it. He's my leadoff hitter. And yes, he's better than DJ LeMahieu for that spot.
He is, absolutely. And listen, when you look at the importance of having that level of leadoff man ahead of Soto and Judge, it is imperative that they get on base at a high level. Gleyber Torres' struggles have, you know, obviously hurt the team a little bit at times, but not so much. He's taken a lot of pitches. Like, there is a narrative there that he's been okay as a leadoff man, but it's not good enough. And Volpe, he's seeing pitches, hitting pitches, stealing bases, like, he's just doing all of it. Like, he's just a great freaking player right now. That's the easiest way to put it. And putting great players ahead of other great players generally means greatness and success and production and contribution. Yesterday, I know the Yankees lost that game, and I think most of it was primarily because they didn't come through in some of these clutch situations with guys on base. Judge is just barely missing these balls, guys. Like, when he starts hitting those balls the way that we know he can, that ball he hit last night, that when he popped out to center field to end the game, when he's on, that's dead center 420. You know what I mean? Like, that's just the way Judge is. It's starting to get a little frustrating. I get it. Even despite, and just keep in mind, Judge has been, you could even say, bad over the first 13 games of the season, and the Yankees are 10-3. They've won four consecutive series. Now, they're going up against a pretty solid Cleveland team. That's why I think 9-6 on the season or something, 9-3, I don't know, 9-4. They have 9 wins. They're going to be a decent competition. They have Carlos Carrasco against Clark Schmidt. Carrasco was beat up a little bit in his first outing, and I think that this is a favorable matchup for the Yankees. You know, Clark Schmidt's kind of that one arm that we're like, we just don't know what version of Clarky we're going to get today. But we need to see more consistency. This is his second year. He hasn't had the same amount of opportunities as, you know, Stroman has just yet, or Nestor Cortez just hasn't had the same amount of starts. So we'll see. Hopefully he can continue to compound on that success. But, you know, I'm really excited to see this team starting to make the decisions that make them better. You know what I mean? In the past, they've been hesitant to, like, act and do the right thing. Volpe, they're like, you know, 12, 13 games in the season, like, all right, you know what? We're moving him to leadoff. You know, we've seen enough. We've seen enough to say that this guy is going to be a great player for us. We're making that move. Last year, at times, it felt like they hesitated for months. Didn't make a move, didn't do things, like, don't realize that Rizzo's concussed, you know, stuff like that. So it's like, you know, now it seems like they're being more proactive. They're saying, okay, like, you know, we're seeing the tangible results. We're seeing the impact, the effects here. Let's capitalize on that. You know, let's give Volpe those opportunities at leadoff. And he ran with it yesterday, man. Two walks and a hit and a run over three ABs. I'll take it. You know what I mean? I mean, 5 plate appearances, 2 of them were walks, but he made contact on all of them. I don't think he struck out, did he? So, you know, you like to see Volpe and really what he's done over this small sample size, but this is a different player, guys. We're talking about a guy that's 22 years old that looks like he's been a vet for 10 years. Like, that's the type of composure that he has. Every time he gets up to bat, the guy looks like he's going to smash one. I know he went in opposite field foul yesterday, but he had the power to get out of the stadium, or rather get out of the field of play. So, you know, right now I'm pretty optimistic that this is going to work out. Now, you know, Ryan, where do you think that DJ LeMahieu slots in when he gets back? Because that's a conversation to have in terms of, I know you were talking to me yesterday about potentially him being, even have a couple of games in the minors just to get back into the groove of things. Do you think that DJ will be a bottom half of the order guy? Honestly, slotting in at the 8-hole, you know, where John Birdie is right now until maybe he works his way up, like, you know, earns that higher slot, I would be fine with him putting him in the 8-hole for now. What are your thoughts about where DJ should play once he comes back?
Yeah, I I fully think LeMahieu's got to get some rehab games in, but I'm not sure. Like, I'm not in that clubhouse. I can't make that decision. I don't know what DJ's been doing. I don't know what his, I don't know what the data on his batting practice looks like. I don't. So I can't sit here and tell you he's not right. He's not ready. Right. Like, I guess I'm not the most informed guy to do that, but I would tell you that, like, yeah, I would prefer for him to get some rehab games. I just want to see how he moves. Right. Like, I just want to see how the movement is. It is a fracture of the bone, like the in his foot. There is a fracture there. It's a non-displaced fracture, meaning it's still like kind of together, but it's still a fracture, and I'm still concerned about it. And I still want to know that he's going to heal properly, and I want to know that he can move, and I want to know that he can play third base, and I want to know that he can make all the athletic plays I need him to make. I need him. I need to know that he's moving the right way. And I also need to know from just like a baseball standpoint, like where is his offense going to be at? Last year, really strong second half, really strong finish to the year. But, you know, second half results really don't have, like, there was some data put out. Second half results don't have a stronger correlation to next year data than full season data. So it's not like you look at the second half and go, that'll just translate to 2024, right? That's just how that works. That's not really how that works. Guys, you know, when your season ends, then, you know, number one, you get into slumps because if you have a hot stretch, you're going to slump after that. Number two, you know, you just had a whole offseason. You got another year older. In the case of LeMahieu, he's not trending in the right direction athletically. It's not like he's getting faster and stronger and more agile. He's getting the opposite of that, right? Weaker, less agile, less athletic, stuff of that nature. I think he has to be a bottom of the order hitter. If he's leading off the second he comes back, that's bad. Like, I want no business of that. I want no part of it. You know, in a sense, and this isn't a criticism of DJ LeMahieu as much as it may be a criticism, maybe the way he's used. I sometimes get frustrated about the usage of LeMahieu the same way I get frustrated about last year the usage of Isaiah Kiner-Falefa. Just no shot at Aaron Boone. Aaron Boone's a baseball lifer. His dad was in baseball. His brother's in baseball. He played baseball. Went to a World Series. Had some really good years. He's managed for 6 or 7 years now. Man, he is a little too obsessed with LeMahieu. Like, he does not need to lead off. Like, the same way Isaiah Kiner-Falefa does not need to play, LeMahieu does not need to lead off. He does not even need to play every day. And, like, Cabrera can hit righties. Give me Cabrera against righties and give me LeMahieu against lefties. That's how I would structure this. But I don't think that Aaron Boone's going to be open to the idea of not playing LeMahieu every day. I'm not saying to say that Boone is going to be wrong, that Boone, you know, that Boone shouldn't be given the chance to be wrong. And I mean that to say that, like, I think Aaron Boone, if he thinks LeMahieu's a good player, then yes, he should be given the opportunity to prove that his theory is correct. But I think he's going to overuse him or overstate his value. Or I think he's currently overstating his value if he has him at the leadoff spot. If he's right and LeMahieu's that good, that's awesome for us. Like, I want that. I want every single player on the Yankees to be as good as humanly possible. Even if I'm a little lower on them, even if I'm a little bit higher on them. Do I think the LeMahieu contract is a disaster? Not exactly. It's an okay contract. There are so many worse contracts out there. Like, I'm not one of those people who thinks it's one of the worst signings the Yankees have ever made or anything like that. But I do think his usage is important. He should not lead off. Leave Anthony Volpe there. I like the idea of having some speed there. If LeMahieu's your 8-hitter, think how deep that lineup is. You have a guy that I can trust in situations where I need a ball in play. A guy who I think is an okay hitter, who I think is a pretty safe bet to be an okay hitter at this level. That just deepens his lineup. Those are at-bats that, you know, you're going to feel pretty good about. He'll come up with a hit here and there. He'll work some walks, you know. I think he's the right guy for this kind of lineup. He's certainly the right guy to fit the profile of just eat up plate appearances with pitches. But yeah, just not the leadoff guy, right? I think we're in lockstep where it's like, it's got to be Volpe. And again, you know, I don't think Boone's watching this, but if you are, if you lead him off, I think you're wrong for that. I think that's the wrong choice. If it ends up being the right choice, I will sit here and say I'm wrong. If he ends up not leading off LeMahieu, that would just be great. But if he leads off LeMahieu, I think it's the wrong choice because I think it should be Volpe.
I agree. I think the consensus would. But guys, always happy to hear your thoughts below in the YouTube comments section. Make sure to like and subscribe as always. And we'll catch you guys on the next Fireside Yankees episode.
Perfect.